This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's a busy show guest-wise, and one of our regulars now joins us.
Well, and you know what? When we say we don't follow recruiting, there's a reason. Because we have people that follow recruiting who then tell us what we need to know. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the woods in Weddington. Ladies and gentlemen, the woods of Weddington, North Carolina. There he is, kids, the Blue Ostrich Pack. Tom Luganbill, ESPN's National Recruiting Director, and yes, one of the great football analysts we have on this fine platform of company.
Pre-Power Hour?
Yes.
Pre? So is this like calisthenics? Is this stretching?
This would be...
Pat and go. This is Pat and go.
Pat and go.
This is Pat and go. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I woke up this morning, I slapped some motor oil on the old coif, making sure I was ready for the kickoff here and looking right for y'all.
Lugs.
Yeah.
The way we look at it is this is still preseason, sort of. I mean, we're all excited. I mean, football, you can almost put your arms around it. But, you know, we'll strategically place you correctly once the season gets underway. Does that make you feel better?
Yeah.
It does make me feel better, and hopefully my wardrobe, I'll have the Radio Row back on. Once the temperatures start dipping down a little bit, we'll be good to go.
There you go. Now you got the good attitude.
And we'll hit the triumphant when you can return to the basement and bring us something from the Del Frisco of gas stations for breakfast.
Or better yet, just a doggy bag from that steak joint you were bragging about during the break. That worked too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I might have to stop in there and find out if they serve breakfast.
We may just have to have a team meal there at some point here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No doubt.
All right, let's go a week from tonight. We know how good Sam Howell is. We understand Sam Howell. We know he can make all the throws. There's 68 touchdowns in 2 years to prove it. What do we need to know about Braxton Burmeister? Because I'm just not sure we got the full swing last year, Tom.
I don't think we did either, but I what our hope is, and I think what Justin Fuente's hope is that his improvement as a passer will match his athleticism. Hmm. That's what they need to have happen, because if North Carolina is going to be as advertised, if they're going to be as explosive as we think they're going to, and they have the opportunity to create explosive plays in the passing game, at some point or another, Braxton Burmeister is going to have to do the same thing. His wheels, his ability to run and create and extend plays – that's going to be great, but they're going to also have to push the ball downfield. They're going to have to create some plays that get them into positive field position, flip field position, come away with points, and get their defense on a long field. So I'm really looking to see what the development has been for him as a passer at intermediate and deep levels in case they get into some type of a track meet scenario with an offense that we know once it gets rolling in North Carolina, they're going to be difficult to keep pace with.
Tom, I want to get to a game before that, and that involves NC State. We actually get a chance to leave the basement next week and go to Raleigh on Thursday. I think NC State has completely felt comfortable with their arch rival getting all this love and attention and preseason and Heisman this and all that great stuff. I think Dave Dorn has built the foundation. They're coming off a really good year, and they are totally flying underneath the radar.
Well, you guys know how excited I've been about NC State over the last couple of years and how this program has been built. You mentioned the foundation, their player development. And everybody tries to knock NC State for a lack of meeting expectations when they have an off season where, you know, people are excited. They're supposed to be really good. Well, to your point, this is one of those off seasons, yet they're still flying under the radar because of the attention being placed in Chapel Hill, which I think is just fine. By Dave Dorn. Just let all of that stuff go over there. We'll worry about our core nucleus, which is really strong. You've got wideouts back. You've got your run game back. You've got a quarterback if he can stay healthy. And Devin Leary showed us an awful lot a year ago. And this is a defensive football team. I think at the linebacker level might be as good, if not the best, in the entire league. So they're going to be a team that is deep. They are experienced. You can't forget, you go back to that 2019 season where they were decimated with injuries in the offensive line, particularly in the defensive back end, just limped into the back half of the season, played with a bunch of guys they had no business playing with. Fast forward to now, that curse has turned into a blessing. This is going to be a very deep and talented team that's going to be very, very difficult to play with. Now, are there expectations? Yes. Is that a hurdle that this program needs to get over? Absolutely. If they do, then this is going to be a very, very difficult team to reckon with, whether you're looking at the Atlantic or the Coastal. Regardless, this is a team that's going to be very, very difficult to beat.
Tom, NC State built this program part and parcel because of their patience, but also their recruiting. Mack Brown seemingly in 2 years has electrified it at Carolina, including, I mean, I'm guessing Travis Shaw is the latest carrot in the ring here in Chapel Hill this week.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, ironically, look at what position he plays. I mean, I think the one thing that we've all got to understand as it relates to the ACC is the only way to close the gap between everyone else in Clemson is to upgrade your personnel in the offensive and defensive line, particularly in the defensive line. The emphasis for North Carolina has been very strong in their recruiting efforts in the first 2.5 cycles for Mack Brown. They're going to have to continue to do that on the offensive line. Haven't had as many numbers in the offensive line in recruiting, but in the defensive front seven, they've kind of become an in-state destination. North Carolina has created a reason to not go to Clemson, to not go to Alabama, all right? Whether it was Miles Murphy, whether it was Desmond Evans, whether it was Keyshawn Silver last year, I think 5 years ago, potentially, all of those guys leave the state and play college football. That hasn't happened now. And so I think those things are very, very important for the future and health of North Carolina schools and for the ACC as a whole, again, as you hope to close the gap with Clemson.
Tom, it sounds like De'Ara King's at 100% and ready to go. What are your expectations for the Canes against Alabama?
To not get caught up in the hoopla and the hype of the matchup. Don't worry about the helmet on the other sideline. Don't worry about Alabama. Worry about one play, then the next play, then the next series, and go at it from that perspective, because what you can't have happen is what happened against Clemson a year ago, where there was so much hype, there was so much talk that, wow, you know, this Miami team could actually pull this off, and then they got caught up in it. And the maturity and the leadership of a De'Ara King, of a veteran offense, of a fairly veteran defensive front four has to come to fruition to focus on Miami and Miami only. If they do that, they're catching Alabama at maybe the best time you could possibly catch them. Now, defensively, I think Alabama's going to have one of the best defensive football teams they've had in the last 3 to 5 years or so. But offensively, there's still a lot of questions, a lot of shuffling of the deck of who's going to line up at what spot within the offensive line. How do you replace the production of a Najee Harris and a Devontae Smith and a Jalen Waddle? New play caller, probably some new offensive wrinkles, and a quarterback that's attempted 23 passes in Bryce Young. This is your opportunity, Miami. If you're going to catch Alabama, this is it. And also, I will say this, and I think this is an area where there's a real strength for Miami. As we see each and every week, as we kick off every season, mistakes are going to be made and the kicking game is going to come into play. If you're Miami and Alabama makes a mistake, whether it's a turnover, whether it's a kicking game blunder, if you hope to win the game, you have to capitalize on whatever that mistake is, because Alabama doesn't make many.
Miami is one of those teams in the ACC where you're looking for freshman impact too, right? I mean, I know you're excited about Shipley at Clemson. We've talked about that before. But in Miami, there are a couple, three guys that you think might be able to have an immediate impact for Manny Diaz?
Yeah, I think Elijah Arroyo, the tight end, will be playing opposite or maybe at the same time tight end rotation with Will Mallory there is got some excitement to it, makes you more difficult to defend. I don't think there's any question about that. Jake Garcia, who's battling to become either the number two quarterback on the depth chart with Tyler Van Dyke. There's a battle there. So I think they're healthy at the quarterback position. Obviously, God forbid something were to happen to De'Ara King once again. But to me, the tight end could be a big asset in this offense. So you take away from the attention that Will Mallory is going to draw, which is going to open up other passing game opportunities and other run game opportunities.
I know we're excited for the start of the ACC football season. We get it Thursday. We get it Friday. Incredible games on Saturday. And, oh, by the way, we've got a Sunday-Monday combo for you, too. Notre Dame lost a starting linebacker yesterday. They lost a lot of experience from a year ago. Brian Kelly's done a great job recruiting. We know what it's all about. They've announced Cone as their starting quarterback. Mike Norvell taking a page of the Pac-Man book. I'm not telling you anything about my starting quarterback. The anticipation Sunday night at Doak Campbell, the emotion of the passing of Bobby Bowden, Notre Dame's coming to town. It's Sunday night. I mean, listen, that place is spectacular when they circle the calendar. Expectations, yeah, it's a work in progress at Florida State, but they're looking to see a better product than they did a year ago. I'm going to ask you the same kind of question with Miami and Bama. What about your expectations for Florida State against Notre Dame Sunday night?
Well, first off, let's touch on something that's very important here because it's been very disappointing over the last 3 to 4 years, and that is the turnout at Doak Campbell Stadium. You know, I had the opener against Boise State. I've had them Florida State, where you just had a trickle, a little small percentage of crowd that arrived, and that's not going to be good enough. This fan support needs to show up. It needs to show up in droves. They need to provide an environment that makes it awfully difficult for Notre Dame to perform. That's first and foremost. Secondly, I think you're going to see two quarterbacks. I'm not really overly concerned who starts, Mackenzie Milton, Travis Jordan. I think you're going to see two guys because both have probably earned the right to play. The question then falls upon the offensive line once again, as we've stated. Each and every preseason, it feels like for the last 4 years, is Florida State going to be improved enough in the offensive line to sustain a consistent run game and protect their quarterback? That's going to be critical. And then for my money, can Florida State stop Notre Dame's run game? Ooh. There's a high likelihood that Notre Dame's going to have a true freshman in Blake Fisher at right tackle, likely another true freshman in Rocco Spindler, one of the guard spots, if he's not a starter, will be rotating in. So that's a bit of a revamped offensive line. But they're going to put all their stock, not so much in Jack Cohen, they're going to put their stock in Kyren Williams and challenge Florida State at the point of attack. Can Florida State consistently stop the run? But I think most important, we can talk all we want about the matchup. We can talk about the uniforms. We can talk about the crowd. For my money, what type of team are we going to see from Florida State when it comes to sloppiness, when it comes to selfishness, when it comes to playing as a team? All of those components have been factors that have plagued this program. Very few people who've watched Florida State over the last 3 to 4 years have looked at them and said, wow, they don't have athletes. They have athletes, but they've had other issues. And they've had issues that have cost them games. They've had issues that have led to sloppy play, penalties, a poor locker room atmosphere. That's the number one thing for me that I'm looking forward to, is how does this team play as a team under the spotlight versus a top 10 team in Notre Dame?
Here's just a hunch, and I guess we can close with this. Just a hunch here. This feels a lot like Notre Dame, Texas, a handful of years ago on a Sunday night in Austin, when everybody kind of thought, I think it was Charlie Strong's first game. Am I right about that?
He won.
Yeah. Yeah. Texas won the game that night when nobody knew what to expect with Charlie Strong. I almost feel like this is Mike Norvell 1.1. You know, I mean, last year wasn't even fair for Mike Norvell.
Yeah.
On so many levels, Pac. But, Tom, sure. I just feel like Florida State's got enough there. And if something – I remember that night in the Texas-Notre Dame game, something good happened early for the Longhorns. If Florida State can get something good to happen early – Malik McClain, big ball from Mackenzie Milton, a Jayshon Corbin run, an Amari Gaynor turnover, name something, anything. I just feel like Florida State is going to have enough juice to get this, because your points about Notre Dame are well made. There is a little bit of transition going on at South Bend that people really are not talking about, in my opinion.
Well, it's not too dissimilar to what we talked about with Alabama and Miami, right? If you're Florida State, is this not a ripe opportunity to be catching a Notre Dame that, you know, has lost some components along the defensive front? You lost a linebacker yesterday. I talked about the revamped offensive line. Got a new quarterback after a very productive starter, and Ian Book moves on. If there was a chance to catch Notre Dame, you want to catch them in week one. And if you're Florida State, I think if something big happens for them, and they generate confidence. Not too dissimilar to what we saw from them against North Carolina a year ago. Now, all of a sudden, the longer Florida State believes they're in the game, the more trouble Notre Dame could be in. But that has to happen early, because you don't know what will happen to Florida State if something bad happens and it snowballs on them, because what we've seen in the past is those kids have not responded well.
Almost time to kick the pig, Tom. It's go time. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Let's roll. Let's kick the hide off of it.
That's it. All right. Team meal. We'll get that scheduled. Get that on the books, Luke's. Maybe not next week, but at some point. All right. Be well. Okay. Thanks. Have a great weekend. Tom Luganbill. You can see him this weekend covering high school football. That Geico high school football kickoff started last night. Big Texas matchup at the Star.
That's a beautiful place, by the way. Ooh, the Star is nice.
Sure is.
I've done the Big 12 Media Day there, and it's even been more built up since then.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, Friday edition. Dino Babers, head football coach of your Syracuse Orange, coming up here in about 5 to 10 minutes. We look forward to Coach being back with us. And again, many thanks to Tom Luganbill, who just joined us. 844-SAY-ACCN. Wes, as you pointed out, 1 week from today, we will be back from Raleigh. NC State will have their opener, and we get ready for the ACC conference opener with North Carolina and Virginia Tech.
That's right. So next Friday, we'll be ready to ride, as they say, with conference games on Friday night on ESPN at 6 o'clock. North Carolina, Virginia Tech. The biggest of them, you think? Is that the biggest of the opening weekend?
Well, as far as the ACC race, it is by far, by default. And obviously, you know, Miami, Bama, Clemson, Georgia, Florida State, Notre Dame, you know, Louisville, Ole Miss, those will get a ton of attention.
Right.
I will talk to Dino Babers, and I said to you the other day, you know, a Syracuse game at Ohio won't receive the national attention, but as far as importance after what happened last year, critical. I mean, listen, everybody wants to get off to a good start. Same thing with Duke. Tough year last year. You open up at Charlotte. It's a game you look at and you say, we should win that one. So we'll see where it goes.
We told you in the hour, in the opening hour, this is old hat for Virginia Tech now. The Hokies have done this now, what, eight times since 2004? Opened with a pretty highly ranked team. They've done number one three times in that time frame. Ohio State, Alabama, and Southern California at FedEx Field in 2004. Top five, Boise State, Alabama. And then the last three times, it's been West Virginia. That was a FedEx Field game, as I recall, at Florida State in 18. And now 3 years later, here comes slinging Sam Howell and the Tar Heels next Friday night. This is also the fourth straight year Virginia Tech has opened up the season with a conference game, Mark.
Got to play them. Let's bring it on. I mean, you got, listen, I think you get, if you can get an early test, I think it helps your team big picture down the road. I really do. And I'm excited about football, period. But that game Friday night is an immediate, hey, get out of the way, give me the remote, on the couch, got the dog, something cold to drink, and hopefully something that you can grab and eat where you don't have to get off the couch. You'll know exactly where you are. Same thing with Miami and Clemson and all these teams. When you play somebody of note out of the gate, I think it helps you. And if you win, awesome. And if you don't, now you know exactly what you got to work on. But, you know, that list that we just put up, there's no doubt that Virginia Tech's played people. But I gave you the stat for me last hour. And that is Lane Stadium has a great reputation. My wife's a Hokie, been up there a gazillion times on the Southern Fried Football Tour. And when that place is packed and ready to roll, it is not a good, but a great environment for college football. But Virginia Tech's got to get back to their winning ways at home.
Right.
I mean, everybody is good at home. But the Hokies are 1-11 in the last 10-plus years. 1-11 at home against AP-ranked teams. That's got to go away. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to get back to people fearing going to Lane Stadium. Hey, enter Sandman, it's cool. But, hey, once we get to the coin toss, hey, we got to go play.
Yeah.
Block, tackle, don't turn it over. So, a great test for Virginia Tech right out of the gate, and pressure on North Carolina to basically hold serve given all the hype that they've received during the summer, Sam Howell and all that stuff. So it's a tremendous matchup.
Told you, fourth straight time that Virginia Tech has opened with a conference game. They are 2-1 in the three, winners at Florida State and against NC State last year, and Blacksburg by three touchdowns. They did lose at Boston College in the 19 opener. Miami, by the way, has opened with top 25 teams three of the past 4 years. So, I mean, the precedent's there. The league likes these early tilts.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
We want to play both guys. We're going to play both guys. And, you know, we're going to have to see how it goes in the games. But I think both of those guys are good enough that they need to be on the football field.
When you say that as part of, like, a two-quarterback system, not like we're probably going to have to play two quarterbacks, but, like, the plan is to play Tommy and Garrett.
No, that's too much detail. I'm not going to put all that stuff out there, and plus we got games to play. I think I said it the way I wanted to say
okay.
it.
God, I love that man. Dino Babers, that is right from the Mark Packers never coached a game, but if I was a head coach, answer to the media, you know what? You'll find out who our starter is when we get ready to kick this thing off against Ohio. That's the answer to the question. I loved it. All right, man, I'll tell you what. We didn't even pass the memo.
Look
but
at this.
Dino Babers,
seriously?
Part of the Dino Babers collection. You know, Coach, when I heard you're coming on, I said, forget T-shirt Friday. I'm stepping it up with the Dino Babers collection today. So I'm styling the orange block S right there, my man. Looking good.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate it, but I don't know what's going on with Wes, but there's no I in team, Wes. There's no I in team.
It's good to see you as well, Coach. Very excited to have you on the program.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm going to pull Wes Durham here and direct for a second. I think we should put Dino on the far right or left and Wes in the middle. And, Coach, we'll give him the Dino Pac-Man Syracuse sandwich during this interview.
That'd
right? We'll just kind of bookend it.
I think that would be good for Wes. Wes, remember, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. Just remember that. That's why we're putting you in the middle.
All right. I know you've got an unbelievable coaching influence and coaching tree, so I want to make sure I get this right. Is the fact that you answered the question the way you did, were you directly influenced by my partner in your thoughts about Tommy DeVito and Garrett Schrader, and you were thinking about Pac the whole time?
You know what? Really not. Really not. You know, to me, this is how things go. I think, you know, the media is great, and name, image, and likeness is fantastic, and social media is something we didn't grow up with. We grew up with black and white television, and now you got TVs on your phones and your watches. It's all great, but sometimes things just need to happen at the right time, and sometimes you don't need to put all that stuff out there. The questions can be asked. That's part of your guys' job, and I respect you guys for doing that. But sometimes the answer needs to be, you know, 7:30 or 8 o'clock on some Saturday night in Athens, Ohio.
With that said, who's your starter? No, just kidding. How have they looked in fall camp? I mean, how would you address, you know what, we got two guys we know we can win with?
You know what? I think that both of them have something that they're better at than the other guy. And we got to get them on. We got to get them on the field and see how it's going to all cook with everyone else. But I'm excited that I want to see both of them. Hmm. But I think some of this has been misled. I mean, you know, we're out there to win games, and I mean, it's not intramurals. I mean, the guy that is playing really well is going to be the guy that plays, and you know, the guys will continue to let people develop if we're not sure about things. But hopefully, before this is all said and done, we'll have either one or two really good quarterbacks competing with each other to become one.
Dino, I literally just had a phone call yesterday with Dan Hawkins. Did you just give me a Dan Hawkins? This ain't intramurals. Is that? Did you just go there with me? I'm just asking. I just got off with the phone with Coach yesterday.
He might have gotten in trouble for it, but I thought that was one of the best lines I've ever heard.
All right, I look at your team, and long before you play next Friday or Saturday or next weekend period, I look at this as like, man, this has just got to be a lot better than a year ago. I mean, it just seemingly, and I've said this, I thought you were one of two programs that never found the rhythm last year, never found the continuity. There was one thing that led to another. It never quite seemed to gel. That's got to be a completely different feeling right now.
Well, there's no doubt. You know, I always I got an older brother. I got a younger brother. My older brother is the car guy. He's like, anything about cars he has, he's got four or five of them. He can. When I need to buy a car, I call him. He tells me what to go get, and I go get it. I mean, last year was like a car without an engine. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the chassis. We had the body and everything. The interior looked really good. But with that offensive line being down, we had no horsepower. And to get some of those guys back and to get those guys back to where we can actually start to call some stuff and do some things is kind of exciting.
Coach, a lot of starters back. This is kind of going to be a unique year. Dave Clawson told us the other day he thinks it's going to be the greatest year ever in college football because you got super seniors. You got a lot of teams with a lot of experience. That includes your team. Again, I go back to fall camp, and everybody's talking about the quarterbacks and all that stuff. But you know what? Defensively, your team's got a chance to be pretty good. You got some dudes that can make some plays.
You know, we've got most of our super seniors are back on the defensive line, and we needed all those cats to come back. And we're really excited about the commitment that those guys have made. And we need those seniors not only on defense and offense to be the leaders on this thing. I mean, they came back for a reason. These guys got their degrees, and they came back to see if they can make it different. And the coaches and myself are doing everything possible to make sure that this comeback is going to be something that they can talk about for a long time.
All right. Now, Tony White's unit is also full of not only super seniors, it's full of a lot of young guys that got thrown into the deep end of the pool now. I mean, Garrett Williams got thrown into the deep end of the pool. Carter, Hannah, a lot of these guys. How valuable now in retrospect is that experience for what you're going to try and pull off this fall?
Hey, I took a lot of losses for that experience.
Okay, fair. Yes, fair. Fair.
No, seriously, I'm making a joke. But seriously, those guys have gotten – that experience is invaluable. They got an opportunity to play against ACC competition. And we knew it was going to be rough after we lost a couple of guys, you know, Trill and Cisco. And, you know, if he went through the entire year, what a warrior he was. But all three of those guys are gone, and now we're younger back there. We've got experience on the front. I think we've got some linebackers that can shake and bake. And now the guys on the back, they've been out there, and now we need them to be better. Physically, some of those guys have changed their bodies a great deal, and we're going to have to see how it pays off in the ACC.
Coach, it's always interesting to hear coaches talk, spring to summer, summer to fall. A lot of guys sometimes open up against number one Alabama, like Miami, and Manny Diaz has talked about, man, our guys know what waits. Also, the flip side is when you come off a tough year, you know what, you find out about the culture in your locker room, guys that want to take ownership and say, hey, you know what, not again. We're never going to experience a season like that again. And whether you're playing Alabama or Cupcake U or whatever, anything in between, you find out about your football team in the spring and the summer. You just talked about, man, there's some guys that bodies look totally different. What about the culture, the leadership of the guys taking ownership going, hey, we're not going to live through a 2020 season again?
You know what? Like, again, I think those super seniors are doing exactly that. And they have spoken out more. They have addressed more issues, twice as many issues as last year. And I'm really, really proud of what they're doing. There's a maturity about them. And here's the other thing. Some of those cats have been around us 6 years, when you think about it, if they have a redshirt year. So they don't have an issue coming up and just saying, hey, coach, boom, 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 boom. Now, you know, there's always that line between what the head coach and the coaches need to know about what's going on in the locker room. But I think the stuff that they're not telling us, they're addressing and they're taking care of themselves. And that's the way it should be.
You touched on a lot of different position groups here. The super seniors and the young guys, it's an interesting chemistry. I mean, we look at like one of these defensive stars. We talked about Mikal Jones yesterday. I mean, that's a playmaker. That's a legitimate playmaker in this league. You don't have to go very far down a really strong linebacking list to find his name. How important is that presence alone in the rebound season you're looking for?
You know, as good as everyone else is, Mikal is the quarterback of that defense. And I can still remember there was, and I'm not going to give you a name, there was an incident that happened last year, really, really early with one of our young people. and, you know, a coach, maybe the one looking at you, got after him a little bit. And his response was his response. And I can still remember that young man maybe thinking about doing the wrong thing. And Mikhail had his arm around him and talked to him and talked to him and talked to him. And next, you know, 4 or 5 minutes later, that guy was back in there and he was doing good, not bad. He was doing right, not wrong. And I'm not going to tell you who that guy is, but he ended up playing a whole bunch of games. And I'm super fired up and we're super excited about what he can do this year. That's the stuff that leaders do, and that's how that's what Mikhail Jones is.
Did he eventually get to the head coach and give him a hug, too? I just want to make sure we got hug this thing out before you start kicking that thing off.
Hey, watch this. Nothing but hugs and kisses. We're really good with each other.
By the way, I know the opener's on the road. The schedule's the schedule. But the anticipation of finally getting back into the new dome and everybody having a chance to experience it. I mean, we lost that in 2020 in college football, and folks have talked about, man, just wasn't the same playing at home for the most part. That's got to affect your football team, too. I know the anticipation of walking through that tunnel and what John Wildhack and everybody's put together there. I know you're fired up about that.
I really am. And you talk about the young people that played last year, and those young people, excuse me, I'm losing my ear thing here. Those young people that were playing for us, they haven't even felt the dome yet.
Right.
I mean, they're playing in front of an atmosphere. They have literally, they've played 11 ACC games, and they haven't played in front of their home crowd yet.
Hmm.
And, you know, we went down south, and there were some places that, you know, that were different, and they had fans. But when they come in this year, even though they played a whole year in the ACC, they're about to find out what their home field advantage looks like, sounds like, and feels like.
You pulled no punches when you were here in Charlotte at the kickoff about this opener, Coach. You're pretty straight up about what Ohio is, and even though Coach Solich retired, and we wish him certainly the best with his health, but you're pretty blunt about how important a ball game it is. I think Pax tried to, you know, tell folks this is not your normal road trip here. You need to go there and play really good football to win the game, right?
You know, I've got experience in that league, and I've got a lot of experience with Ohio, and I wish Frank the best. Frank and I go way back, and I have nothing but utmost respect for him, and I'm sure he'll be at that game, and the guys will be playing really hard, you know, not only for the new head coach, but for Frank as well to put one on us. But this is not. For some reason, it seems like when we play a MAC school, they're supposed to win their side of the conference or something. This is a really good MAC team. The head coach, it was the old offensive coordinator. He's been there. He knows his players. The defensive coordinator did not change. He's been there. The system has been inbred for a long period of time, and that program as well. So we're going on the road. We're playing a team, and, you know, when this is going to be a big-time game. It's not an easy game.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not even favored in the game. Now, we feel good about going down there, and we feel good about, you know, who we're going against, but this is going to be difficult. And we're going to have to play well if we're going to have an opportunity to win.
Well, I know you were concerned about my man when you missed him at kickoff, but, you know, he showed back up and he's, you know, he's running 100 right now. I just want you to know he's ready for kickoff.
You know, I would, out of all the people in the world, if I had to wrestle somebody for the rest of my life, you know what I mean? It's me and that guy. I think we can. When we're good, we're good. When we're bad, we're bad. It could be very entertaining for the rest of the world for a lifetime.
You know, I told you before we started this, we are brothers from another mother, my man. We are connected at the hip. And today we look like the Bobbsey twins. We got that thing figured out. Before we let you go, though, I would be remiss. And I know you're concentrating on football, but this has been the craziest offseason with all the stuff going on, name, image, and likeness, and transfer portal stuff. We go down the whole list. Your take on the alliance, if you even have one, I'm curious.
Way above my pay grade. Way above my pay grade. You know, I've really been, and this is going to sound crazy, I've really been locked into other things. When we're in camp, we barely know what in the heck's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much stuff going on in the world. You guys know Afghanistan, the fires out north, the hurricanes coming up through the Gulf. So much stuff going on. And when we're in camp, we hear about that stuff, but we're in camp. And, you know, we're about to break, and we're about to get ready for another college football season. And hopefully we can stay COVID-free and have the stadiums full and get back to some normalcy back here. Wes, I'm glad that you're around. Mark, I'm glad that you're healthy again.
Yes, sir.
And let's kick off this ACC and do it like it's never been done before.
How about that? I like it. Rooting for you, my man.
Hey, Coach, be well. Thanks, as always, for the time. Look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, you guys, be good.
All right, Dino Babers, head coach of the Orange. They open with the Bobcats next Saturday night in Athens, Ohio.
We're not real fond of Bob.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Welcome back. I got a point of clarity to make here. Abdul Adams and Jarvion Howard are the running backs. Jawar Jordan was a running back at Syracuse, who now ironically is at Louisville because of the portal.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks to Dino Babers for his time. Always great to catch up with him.
I love his stance on quarterbacks. Just
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
beautiful.
Let's hope you like it a week from Saturday.
They need to win that game.
And next Sunday night with Florida State and Notre Dame, because apparently it's gonna the dance is gonna continue there.
Mike Norvell should say nothing until Sunday.
Mike and he should run two guys out there, right?
That's it.
All right. Miami gets number one Alabama next Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic in downtown, in EA.
Pro Chick-fil-A, that's all good.
Yeah. Miami, the Canes have only done it once this century. They're far and away, however, the most successful team against number one teams in ACC history. They have 9 wins against number one teams.
Yeah, now – again, that is correct. The one I would emphasize, though, is can you do it number one next week? Because the last time you did it was 21 years ago.
Okay, but look at the other list.
Look at the
rest of them.
I understand. I understand how this game's played here.
Been a minute for the Noles. Been a minute for the Eagles. Georgia Tech's last one was off the educated toe of the youngster, Scott Sisson.
So it's been a while for the ACC. The last time it happened is when Clemson beat what I heard was the greatest football team in the history of mankind and was sitting there watching Clemson take a knee not to win the game by 5 touchdowns.
That's right.
Against number one Alabama.
That's right.
You know, getting the opportunity to play a number one is unique. I mean, you know, from that perspective. But when you get a chance, you got to, you know, you got to roll. Miami and the great teams in the 80s and the 90s did it so often, you're like, well, I'm not surprised it's the U. So can the U, can we get that again? The U is back. Can you go there, Wes? You got a great opportunity next week.
Here, give me some of the Ken Dorsey video.
That's what I'm talking about. You go old school, brother. This was no big deal to watch Miami just have a smirk on their face when they were playing number one.
Man, is that Reggie Wayne? How about all this?
Fumble.
Loose ball. Is that Dan Morgan the tackle? I think it was on the
old Orange Bowl. Man, did I love that place. God, I love the old Orange Bowl.
Yeah, unless you had to do a radio broadcast from a plastic box on the roof with a window air conditioning unit.
I didn't care about no stinking radio booth. I was going down the Orange Bowl, sitting in the stands amongst them. That was a great place to watch.
Yeah, on the Subpar podcast, get amongst them. Yeah.
That was the way. They should never touch that place. For Marlins baseball, that was a whiff in every sense of the word.
I would disagree.
Oh, come on.
I liked it too, but.
Dude, that place had that. It was one of the few places, you know, you, in your life, and you and I are old enough, you go to certain buildings.
Yes.
That has a life to it when it's empty.
Right.
You would walk into the Orange Bowl on game day.
Right.
And you could hear ghosts. I'm telling you, I know you think I'm crazy. It was one of those places that had a life to its own. And then all of a sudden, when all the locals showed up, smoke coming up, and here comes a bunch of absolute monsters to the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Play hard.
You guys know that I am a soft touch for some of the stuff that goes on in collegiate athletics. We showed you one of these last week, and I'm going to show them to you as much as I can because I think it's a special moment that now, fortunately, because of social media, gets the play maybe it deserves, right? Well, guess what happened at Pittsburgh this week? Yep, somebody got put on scholarship.
Hi, Mom. I got a scholarship.
You did? Oh my god, no! Oh my god! Oh my god, I'm gonna cry! I'm so happy. Tell me how it happened.
In the team meeting this morning.
Coach, what we can do better at the DF spot? Our fundamentals, getting our feet in the ground, our strikes, our sheds, our getting ground and finishing.
Hey, he's worked so hard for what he did. He's deserved it. Thank you for raising him the right way.
Awesome. It's awesome.
Let me just give you the approximate price tag on something like that.
Oh, are you putting salt in my wound?
Yes,
now?
I am actually. Oh. Just so you know, the University of Pittsburgh, an approximate tuition for an in-state student at the University of Pittsburgh is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $20,000 a year. Out of state's about $33,000, and I may be dollars or two off either way here. But that's what Chris Maloney, who's from Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, his parents don't have to worry about.
Amen. It's great. It's a great story. Yeah. And you know, even going back to our interview with Bubba Cunningham mm-hmm. yesterday, who talked about the model, right, of college yeah. athletics. This is what we're talking about, right? It's what we're talking about. Yeah, I know if you're a fan, hey, you want your team to win, and let's go to a bowl, let's go yeah. to the college football playoff, let's go to the Final Four. I get all that. We get it. But this is the essence of college athletics, is what you just saw right there.
Yep, and we showed you Parker Fox last week from Clemson basketball, Chris Maloney today from the University of Pittsburgh. It's happened with guys all over the ACC. Some of the schools, you know, awarding a scholarship that's available to a walk-on who's been a part of the program. Chris Maloney played in a handful of ball games a year ago and a couple seasons. I mean, that's what this is, Pac. And you know, people, I'm glad it gets some run, and we're gonna give it some run on here when we get the chance.
You know, I know next hour, Mark Rick's going to join us. He's got a new book out, and in the book, he talks about the dog pile and the celebration. But he said, you know what? What is one of the coolest things is when you have a chance to give a student-athlete a scholarship.
Yeah.
And he talks about that in the book. So we'll get in that with Coach
yep.
When we talk to him next hour.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.